Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Yod Zayin. And we are at the Mishnah, 15 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Te Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasuna Batzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Yisrael David, Ben Ribdoiv, Beryl, Zechroi Milavracha. So yesterday, 7.5 years ago, we began the 10th and final perek of Meseches Bava Metzia, perek Habayis VeHo'Aliyah. And as we saw, the perek begins discussing halachos related to two people that live in the same duplex, so to speak. One person lived on the main floor, he lived in the bayis, and the other person lived on the top floor, he lived in the aliyah. Today's daf is going to continue on that theme, additional mishnayos related to a bayis and an aliyah, a house and an attic. Zok the mishnah, a bayis for aliyah, in the event that there was a bayis and an aliyah. Now, the nifches aliyah, the aliyah, the roof of the bayis started going bad. The ain balabayis reitzel lasakein, and the balabayis does not want to fix it. So you have a balabayis who is living on the main floor. There's someone that's living in the aliyah. The roof of the main floor was nifchasa, meaning it's no longer a proper ceiling. As a result, for the person that's living in the aliyah, he has this big cavity, he has this big area where there's literally no floor. Now, you would think the balabayis has a responsibility to fix it, but the Mishnah is discussing a case where the balabayis did not want to fix it. Says the Mishnah, Re balo aliyah yoyred, if the bala aliyah wants, he has a right to go down, v'dar lamata, and live in the bayis, achi yisakim lo yaso aliyah, until the bal habayis is going to fix the aliyah. Meaning, if the balabayis fixes the aliyah, great, but to the extent that he doesn't want to fix the aliyah, so the person living in the aliyah has a right to go and live in the bayis. Rabbi Yossi says, "Hatachtoi noisen es hatikra," that when it comes to fix the ceiling, the person living on the bottom, he has the responsibility to provide the tikra, literally the ceiling. The Gemara will talk a little bit more about this. Va'oyin es amaziva, and the person living on top, he has to provide the plaster, that's the finishing on top of the ceiling. Either way, the Mishnah discusses one person who was living in a bayis, another person was living in an aliyah. Nifchesa ha'aliyah. The understanding is that the person living in the bayis has a responsibility to repair the aliyah. In the event that he does not repair the aliyah, the person living in the aliyah has a right to go b'yoyred. He can go live in the bayis up until the time that the person living in the bayis is going to fix the ceiling. In terms of fixing it, how much does this person actually have to do? It's a machloikis, or at the very least, Rabbi Yossi Shita is mentioned in the Mishnah that says the tachtoin has to provide the tikra, the elyoin has to provide the maziva. Says the Gemara, nifchasa bikam. So the Mishnah said that in the event that it was nifchasa aliyah, the halacha gets triggered that the person living in the bayis has to fix the ceiling, and if not, the person living in the aliyah has a right to go live downstairs in the bayis. The question is, how much of it needs to be nifchasa in order for this halacha to be triggered? Meaning, let's say there's a small little hole in the aliyah, in the ceiling where this bal habayis lives. It's pashit that the little hole is not going to impact the halacha, that suddenly he would have to repair the whole thing. There has to be some shear of how much it would have to be nifchasa in order for this halacha to go into effect. So the question is, kama, how much does it have to be? Rav Amar, Rav says, berupa, it would require that most of the ceiling be impacted for this halacha to go into effect. V'shmul amar barba, Shmul says that you don't need most of the ceiling to be impacted, but as long as it's arba, it's four amis, that in and of itself is going to be enough. And the Gemara explains, Rav, I'm a beruba. Rav says you need roif of it. Why? Abba barba loy. But if all it is four not, and the reason is because adam dar chetzioi lamata v'chetzioi lamayla. If all that's impacted is this one little area of ceiling, even though it's true the person living on top doesn't have that floor, but it doesn't mean he can now move in to the main floor. Why? Because a lot of it he'll be able to use, and the little bit that he won't be able to use, that arba of square footage that he's missing, for that he can go downstairs and he can use that square footage from the person in the bayis. And even though, here's the punchline, it's going to be a shtickle inconvenient, because what's going to emerge is that this person is living chetzioi lemata v'chetzioi lemaila, but Rav holds adam dar chetzioi lemata v'chetzioi lemaila. There's nothing unusual about that, and as a result, this is going to be okay. But Shmuel says ba'arba. Shmuel says that this halacha of the Mishnah is going to be true even if the whole area that was impacted is arba. You don't need that roiv of the aliyah should be impacted, and the reason is because he holds ein adam dar chetzioi lemata v'chetzioi lemaila. He holds that a person doesn't usually live chetzio lemata v'chetzio lemaila. As a result, this person has been very much negatively impacted, and it's for that reason, if even that in and of itself happens, the Baal HaBayis would have a responsibility to go ahead and fix it. So it's interesting. We know throughout Shas, there's so many halachic machloikis in between Rav and Shmuel. We also know that a lot of the machloikis in between Rav and Shmuel permeate Divrei Haggadah. It almost feels like if Rav said right, Shmuel said left. To the point that if Rav and Shmuel are in agreement on something, the Gemara makes a big deal about it. Rav Shmuel the Amri Travayer. Even when it came to basic human psychology, you find that Rav and Shmuel often argued. According to Rav, Adam dar chetzio lemata v'chetzio lemaila. According to Shmuel, ein Adam dar chetzio lemata v'chetzio lemaila. And a chapsa nafkemina in our halacha, in the event where it was nifchasa aliyah, but it was only nifchasa be'arba, it wasn't nifchasa ruba, to the point where it's completely not functional, is that enough to allow the person living on top to now move in downstairs or not? If you hold Adam dar chetzio lemata v'chetzio lemaila, so just because it's nifchasa arba, it doesn't mean you have to move in downstairs. Now to be clear, you'll be able to use the makam of arba from downstairs, but you can't completely move in. If, however, ein adam dar chetzel lemata v'chetzel lemayla, that means I've been completely impacted. If I've been completely impacted, then that in of itself would be enough to trigger the halacha of the Mishnah. Now, from the next Gemara that we're about to learn, it's going to be obvious, and really Rashi spoke it out in the Mishnah, and we could have spoken it out in the Mishnah, that the halacha of the Mishnah is talking specifically where the person living in the bayis and the person living in the aliyah had a soicher maskir relationship. So that the person living in the main floor, he owns this house and he rented the top floor to somebody else. Which then means that the halacha of the Mishnah is not being stated in a vacuum, and it could be it's not true in all cases. It's talking about where this person was living in the attic, he rented an apartment. So if I rent an apartment, I expect to have a floor, because if I don't have a floor, it's a little bit of a problem. So that if right now it's nifchas or aliyah, you have a responsibility to fix it, not just because you're the one who lives in the bayis, but also because you're my maskir, and based on the fact that you're my landlord, that in of itself gives you the responsibility to go ahead and fix it. And really, it's with that segue that the Gemara asks this kasha. Hey, chidami. Let's look in the lease agreement. Let's understand a little bit so that we can understand this mission a little bit better. Ida Omar Aliyazu. In the event that the agreement between the landlord and the tenant was that I am going to lease to you this aliyah, I'm going to lease to you this particular attic, this top floor. Well, if that's the case, Azda. Then if something happens to it and it's not functional anymore, then we should say that the landlord has no responsibilities anymore. And if he has no responsibilities anymore, so why does he have to fix it? Meaning, the agreement was, I'm going to give you this aliyah. Well, if you don't have this aliyah anymore, why not? Because you just lost your floor. Okay, so who said I should have any responsibilities? Maybe the case is talking about where the lease agreement says, I'm going to give you a aliyah. Not this aliyah, but a aliyah. Well, if that's the case, then why doesn't he have a responsibility to lease him another one? And that wasn't even mentioned in the Mishnah as a possibility. So it doesn't sound like that's even on the table. Rava said, you have to say it's talking about the amaleh. He told him, aliyah zush ani maskelecha, this aliyah that I'm leasing to you, ki solka solik badav, ki nochis chais badav. In the event you'll be able to live in the top floor, live on the top floor. And in the event that you're not going to be able to live on the top floor, so chayis pada, live on the main floor and kick me out of the house. But the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's what it said in the lease, then Maila Memra, what's even the chiddush of the Mishnah? Meaning, if the Mishnah is talking about a case where it says, Rochel bitcha aktana, that in the event that this person who lives in the aliyah won't be able to live in the aliyah anymore, you'll be able to move in downstairs. Of course, you'll be able to move in downstairs. Why does the Mishnah even have to say it? Alam Ravashi. So Ravashi said, you have to say that the case of the Mishnah was, meaning the lease agreement read as follows. It said, this aliyah Aliyazu. Sha'al-gabi bayaseh, that's on top of this house, is the house that I am leasing to you. And the reason the halacha of the Mishnah is true is the shabbat bayas la'aliyah. Because by you doing that, you mishabbat the bayas to the aliyah, and it's for that reason, in the event that something happens, you're going to have to move him downstairs. In other words, the Gemara didn't understand the case of the Mishnah. If the case is where he says aliyazu, so why do I have to replace it? If it's not functional because of whatever happened, we're assuming it's not the negligence of the masker that caused this to happen. So something happened, nistafcha sodecha, aliyascha, and as a result, why do I have to make you whole? If you said aliyastam, then we should be talking about find him another apartment in the same neighborhood. And if it's talking about where he said mefurish, that I'm giving you this aliyah, but in the event something happens, I'll let you move in downstairs, and it's pshita. So wherever you go, for an aled raizaitin, the Gemara doesn't really understand the halacha of the Mishnah. And for the Gemara, Elam Rav Ashi, the case of the Mishnah was where he said, aliyah zu, she'al gabi bayezeh ani maske l'cha. Meaning, he didn't stam say aliyah zu. If he stam said aliyah zu, he would have no responsibilities towards him. He didn't say aliyah stam. That's why we're not having a conversation about renting him another aliyah. He also didn't say mefurish, that if something happens, you can move him downstairs. That's why it's not pshita. What he said was aliyazu, but he added the words sha'al gabi bayezeh. Stam aliyazu would mean dafke des aliyah. But sha'al gabi bayezeh, that's extra language. What does he mean by that? What he's saying is it's aliyazu, but at the same time, I'm being meshabed this bias. So aliyazu, yeah, I don't have to give you another aliyah, but at the same time, if there's any way for this bias to somehow replace the loss you're going to have from not being able to use aliyah zu, the bias is meshubah to it. And it's for that reason, the halacha is that now you can move in. Now, he didn't say rochel bitcha aktana, that's why it's a chiddish, that's why the Gemara doesn't say maila memra, that is the whole point of Rav Ashi, but at the same time, the reason the halacha is what it is because he added shal gabi bayezeh, and by him adding that language, what he's essentially doing is he's being meshabed his bias to this aliyah. And the Gemara says there's a precedent for this. There's a precedent for this idea that if you're talking about one thing, like in this case, you're leasing aliyah, but you add language that says that it's the aliyah gabi bayezeh, what you mean is to be meshabed the bias. What's the precedent? Chiyada Omar Rovin bar Rav Ada, Omar Rav Yisrael, Rovin bar Rav Ada said this in the name of Rav Yisrael. I said it was a story about Echad Shomer Chaver. Somebody told this friend, Dolis sha'al gabi farsek zeh, ani moichel lecha. I'm selling you the following vine that's on top of this farsek. It's on top of this peach tree. Okay. Venekar ha farsek. And then the farsek got uprooted by myself and Rav Chiyah. And the shayla was brought to Rav Chiyah. Meaning, the person who had sold the dollis had said, I'm selling you the dollis that's on top of the farsek. Now, the buyer had the dollis, but being that it was nekar ha-farsek, he no longer had the farsek that it was on top of. And Rav Chiyah said as follows, Chayev atal hamalei farsek kol zman sha-dollis kayemes. You, the seller, have a responsibility to shtel to another farsek as long as this dollis is kayemes. Because when you sold the dollis, you didn't just sell the dollis in a vacuum. You sold the dollis al-gabi farsek. And being that you sold the al-gabi farsek, here's the punchline. What you essentially did was you mishabed the farsek to the dollis, and you have a responsibility to make sure that there's always going to be a farsek. Meaning, even though you sold the dollis, but at the same time, you said, sha'al-gabi farsek zeh, and that creates some shibud that the lekeach has towards the farsek. What's the tushtel? So too in our case, you leased out an aliyah, but you said that the aliyah is on top of the bias, so even though the lease is on the aliyah, the lease or the mechir is on the dollars, but when you say shal gabi bias zeh, it's like saying shal gabi farsek zeh, you meshabit the bias, just like there you meshabit the farsek, and that's what the Gemara says, ki ha, this is the tushtel. Now the Rishonim all speak out that there's an obvious distinction between the two cases, just the halacha was very, very different, right? As it relates to the aliyah, shal gabi bias, what are we saying? We're saying that you leased out an aliyah, but being that you said shal gabi bias, which was not something that you had to say, you're being meshabed the bias to the aliyah. So that in the event that I can't use the aliyah, I'll be able to use the bias. What happens in the case of the dollis and the farsek? You sold the dollis. You said shal gabi farsek. If the farsek is not functional, you have to shtel to another farsek. Not the same thing, right? What would be the equivalent thereof in our case? That would be that in the event that something happens now to the aliyah because you can't use the floor anymore, so now you have to shtel tzu kilu, a new bias with a new aliyah. Or if you wanted to work the other way, what would be the tzushtel from the dollis and the farsek to the bias and the aliyah? That in the event that something happened to the dollis because you said dollis al gabi farsek zeh, now if I want, I can use the farsek. That's not what we're saying. It's two different halachas. In the case of the bayis and the aliyah, if something happens to the aliyah, you can now use the bayis. In the case of the dolis and the farsek, if something happens to the farsek, you have to shtel to a new farsek. What's the tzadashav? But the tzadashav is that adding this extra language is meshabit that other thing to the transaction. So it could be meshabit in the sense that I can now use it if I can't use my aliyah. It's meshabit in the sense that you have to shtel to another farsek in the event that something happened to this farsek. Now, why in the case of the bayis aliyah do we look at one way, and why in the case of the farsek and the dollars, do we look at it another way? For that already, I am Berishayna. But the Iker Tushla of the Gemara is as such, and as all the Rishayna speak at, it's not mamish, the same exact halacha. Says the Gemara, as it relates to our Mishnah. So again, what's the basic halacha in the Mishnah? We know now the Mishnah is talking about a Seicher and a Masker, where somebody was leasing Aliyah. It was Nifchasa Hu Aliyah, meaning he can't use the floor anymore, so that the Aliyah of the bias is no longer functional. Like his Rav and Shmuel, what exactly that means? The halacha is, if he wants, he can be Yoyred Vidar Lamata Achi Yisakim Lo Yisalvi. Until the masker fixes the Aliyah, the person living in the Aliyah has a right to go live in the main house. So Rav Abba Bar Mamal asked a few questions. Number one, Kishahu Dar Levadai Hu Dar Kidemei Kara Idum Shneim Dar. When the person living on top moves in downstairs, does it mean he throws out the masker that's living downstairs? Or do they live together? Meaning, what are the two tzadim? On the one hand, you could say that he lives by himself. Because when he leased Aliyah, he was living by himself in Aliyah. He's not living together with another family, right? That's not so gishmak. So maybe his schos now, he was meshabed the bias to this lease, it is for me to live by myself and you have to leave. Or maybe they both live together, and the reason is because the masker also has a koyach hatayna. The amalei, the masker can tell the soichat, aito lafkino layagri lach. Even though I gave you this extra language and I was meshabed my bias, it meant I would give you a bedroom in my house or whatever, but it doesn't mean I'm giving you my whole house. Now, intim slimish name darim boy. If we're going to assume, as it relates to the first shiloh, that in the event that the person living in the aliyah has to be Yair Lamata, what's going to happen is they're both going to live there together. When the person who formerly lived in the aliyah now is going to be living in the main floor, together with this other guy, together with the landlord, is he going to be able to go in derech psachim, meaning you're going to go in through the doors, that's usually where you walk into a house, or maybe he's going to have to come in through the roof, he's going to have to come in derech gagin. What are the two tzadim? Mi aminan do we say, k'demei kara, that the landlord can tell the tenant, listen, I understand I have to provide you with a house, but it doesn't have to be any more convenient than it was previously. And mamei kara, just like if you had your aliyah, how would you get into your aliyah? Derech Gagin. You'd have to climb up an extra staircase. You'd have to climb up this ladder. Hashtanami Derech Gagin. Now, you also have to go in through the ladder. Now, essentially, what you're going to have to do is, this person's going to have to go up the ladder, and then he's going to have to come down the ladder. Why the landlord's a gaita meleven, I'm not sure. But, halacha lemaisa, you were mekabel already to go in Derech Gagin. So go in Derech Gagin. Maybe Matzi Yomalei, he could tell him, Aliyah Kabili Aloy, Aliyah Vyerida, Loi Kabili Aloy. It's true, I was Makabo, if I'm living on the top floor, to have to walk up a flight of stairs if I want to get home. But I wasn't Makabo that if I'm going to have to walk into my house, I should always have to go up a flight of stairs and down a flight of stairs. Yeah, up a flight of stairs when I walk into my house, down a flight of stairs when I leave my house. But every time I walk into my house and leave my house, I should have to go up a flight and down a flight. That's not something I was having makabel. So each person has a shtekel kayachatayna. Intim, Slavim, the Gemara goes right and says, Malti, Amalei, I leave and you read the lake of Bili Adloi. Let's say we're going to assume that the two people live together. And we're going to assume that the tenant even gets to go in derech psachet, because he was never makabel in the original lease to have to go up and down a flight of stairs every time he wants to go in and out of his house. What would be, as it relates to the following shayla, shtei aliyah zu agav zu. What would be if you had now a three-story house? So you have the main floor, and there's essentially two aliyahs, right? There are two aliyahs zu agav zu. What would be the halacha then? And the Gemara explains, if chesal yoyna, in the event that the one on the top, the third floor, was ifchis, so it's not livable anymore, then it's easy, nachas v'dar v'tachtayim. Meaning, no one's going to argue that this landlord has a responsibility to provide the tenant with a new apartment, but he doesn't have to let him move in with him. He can give him one shtuck beneath, right? You could say, instead of living on the third floor, live on the second floor. No reason not. If anything, it's better. The question is, what would be if the person was living on the second floor and now something was impacted on the second floor and he had the option to give him an apartment on the third floor? Could he give him the apartment on the third floor or not? I mean, does he have to allow him to move in with him? Or could he say, I'll just give you the apartment on the third floor? What did it start? You can tell him, the original lease agreement was that you were going to live in the aliyah. aliyah. Okay, this is an aliyah. Now you grab this at second floor, not third floor. I hear the elevator's not work. Whatever. I got it. But at the end of the day, you are mekabel aliyah. And if you are mekabel aliyah, so my responsibility to you is not more than that. Or maybe no. Maybe we start splitting hairs. Chad aliyah kabel aliyah. Shtei aliyah slay kabel aliyah. The person can say, I was masking him to be on the second floor. I wasn't masking him to be on the third floor. If you can't give me the second floor, you have no choice but to give me the first floor. What's the halacha as it relates to all these shaylos? Teiku. Either way, Zok to Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Yosef said that when the masker, the landlord, is going to fix the ceiling, so hatachtoin noisein es hatikra, the person living on in the bayis, the masker, he has to provide the tikra, va'elyen es hamazifa, and the person on top, he provides the plaster. So the Gemara is going to get into a little bit of a nuanced discussion as it relates to this, but high level, really what we're saying is that the masker provides the actual ceiling, and the maziva, which is the plaster that's put on top, the finishing, that's going to have to be provided by the tenant. The landlord doesn't have a responsibility to provide that. Says the Gemara, my tikra. How do we define tikra? Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina Amar, Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said, kinim v'sanoim. So kinim are reeds, sanoim is miloshin sneh, or thorns. And Rashi says that the tikra that the Mishnah is referring to are mats that were made up of kinin and sanon. And that's like the basic tikra that a landlord would have to provide his tenant in the event that something happened. The stini, Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, stini said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish, by the way, take a look at Rashi. The stini, Amar Reish Lakish, Shem Chacham, Talmidei Shal Reish Lakish. Stini was the name of a Chacham, he was a Talmid Reish Lakish, and stini, Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, said, Livachin. That what it means is boards made of cedar. The Loi Pligi, the Gemara says, really, there's no machlokes, rather, Marki Asrei, Umarki Asrei. Rabbi Yosef, Reb Chanina was talking about what was typical where he lived, and Stini Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish was talking about what was typical where he lived. So I'll tell you one interesting thing before we go weiter. So my tikra, it's a machlokes. Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said kinen v'sanoim. Stini said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish that it's levachim, and the Gemara said that really there's no machlokes. The Aruch has a different shine on this Gemara. The Aruch says that really, the first shita of Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina was kinim, sanoin, and stini. It's Reb Shimon ben Lakish who said levach. V'loy pligi marki asrei or marki asrei. Meaning the way Rashi learned the Gemara, the second shita is a chacham whose name was Stini, who said a halach in the name of Reb Shimon ben Lakish. According to the Aruch, there's no chacham whose name was Stini. But rather, the way you're supposed to read this is kinen v'sanon v'stini. Now, what does Stini even mean? So the Aruch changes the gerasa and says it's not really Stini. What it is tini or tina. It's tina. What's tina? It's tar. And Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina is saying that the mats that are the tikra that the person living in the bayis would have to provide would be made up of three things. Made up of kinen, it's made up of sanam, and it's made up of tina. Now the truth is if you go through the Aruch inside and there's the Maisef Aruch, really it's based on maybe a whole different gerasa in the Gemara Ayin Sham, but we don't have to get too much into it. But the bottom line is the way Rashi learned this Gemara was my tikra. Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina amar kinen v'sanam. Stop. The stini, the name of a chacham, who's a tam reish lakish, then the name of his rebbe reish lakish, levachin. The way the Aruch has it, it's Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said, kine v'sanoim, not the stini v'tina. Okay, we know what tina is. Stop. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. There's no chacham named stini. It's not a, no one's saying over this name in the name of reish lakish. It's an Amar reish lakish who's providing the second opinion. He says, levachin. And again, the oisfer is v'loi pligi, marki asre, v'marki asre. The Seyda HaDoiris brings this machloikis Rashi and the Aruch with regards to this Chacha, maybe, whose name is Stini, that's quoted here in the Gemara Masechtes Bava Metzia, Daf Kufi Zayin Amar Aleph. And he brings the whole Arichas of the Aruch. One of the kashas that bothered the Aruch very, very much is why would somebody name their son Stini? Stini is Miloshin Satan. It's Miloshin to be Mastin. I mean, in the world of Simana Milsi, Yikarish Shmai B'Yisrael, Satan, right? I mean, that's what it sounds like. So like, why would anybody in the world ever do that? And the Aruch, when he asked on Rashi, he says, I don't understand. He says, besides, just read the Gemara. It just doesn't sound like the way Rashi's explaining the Gemara. It sounds like Kinev V'sanon Mustini, and then Amar Reish Lakish. Like, you always have Amar Reish Lakish in Shas. I mean, the Aruch Shat seems so much more intuitive in terms of how Gemaras typically read, and Befrat, who would ever name their child Satan? Azoi, fake the Aruch. Either way, the Seyed Adoris is very mirich in this, and he says a davar nifla. He says, "B'mechilas kvoy teirasa yishel the Aruch and the Moisef Aruch." It's a mefurish Yerushalmi. He says, if you take a look at the Yerushalmi is often up right here in our Gemara, and it brings the machloikis as it relates to what the definition of tikra is. And it says as follows, Rav Yusta b'shem Reish Lakish. Rav Yusta said in the name of Reish Lakish, ha-tachtoi noisein tikra ulevachim, which is the sheet of Reish Lakish, ve-elyoi noisein ha-maziva, ayin shop. But I'll kapon him, in Yerushalmi it's mefurish that Reish Lakish didn't just say the name, but rather somebody said the name in the name of Reish Lakish. Who's the one that said the name in the name of Reish Lakish? It's Rav Yusta, who is a Talmud of Reish Lakish, Dr. Seyda Adairis. In fact, he brings many places in Yerushalmi where Rav Yusta saying over Torah in the name of Reish Lakish. So he says, we know already from the Yerushalmi that there was a Yid whose name was Rav Yusta, Rashi didn't make him up, who's quoted, who says over Torah in the name of Reish Lakish. And this is one of the places that it's Rav Yusta, the name of Reish Lakish. So we know this is not your typical Omer Reish Lakish. It's someone in the name of Reish Lakish. What's his name in Yerushalmi? His name is Rav Yusta. Now we know a lot of names that are in Bavli present differently in Yerushalmi. Ki Yodua, right? So says the Seyed Adoris, it's posha to me that this Ustini that's mentioned here in Bavli, Kuf Yud Zayin Amad Aleph, Maseches Bava Metzia, is the same Rav Yusta who's mentioned in Yerushalmi. But he says, if that's the case, it just comes out one nuance. Pasha, you learned that what was the name of this Chacham? His name was Stini, right? What's the Vav of Ustini? It's, and Stini says, Zokt the Seyed Adoris, if really in Yerushalmi, this Amora's name was Rav Yusta, that it's Mistaber, that the Vav is not Ansatini, but the Vav is part of his name. And you know what his name is? His name is Ustini, which is a little bit more similar to Yusta. And his name was not Satan. His name is not Stini, his name is Ustini. Or in Yerushalmi, his name is Yusta. But he says it's Pasha to me. So Zok, the Seyed HaHadoris, I think that Zloshin is Rashi MS, Visayrosai MS. He was coming from an offering Yerushalmi, and the name is not Stini, which is the way the Aruch understood Rashi, but rather his name is Ustini. So you want to know if you were going to catalog all the different Tanam and Amiram on alphabetical order, where would you put this Amir? You put him on the Vav, because his name is Ustini. If you take a look in the Seyed HaDoris, now the Seyed HaDoris was written as a commentary on the Sefer HaYuchsin, who was a Kadmoy. The Sefer HaYuchsin brings this Chacham, Keshitas Rashi, and you know where he brings this Chacham? He brings this Chacham under Ois Vav. It's Rav Ustini. If you take a look in the Toldos Tanam Amiram from Rav Haimin, you know where he brings this Chacham? He brings it under Ois Samach, under Stini, L'chura, it's a Machlekes. What was the name of the Chacham? I mean, we have Machlekes Aruch and Rashmi, is this even a Chacham? Maybe the word that it's supposed to say is really Tina. It's a Chacham. Do you read it? Ooh, and Stini, his name was Stini, which the Aruch is understandably very uncomfortable with, or maybe his name is Yusta or Ustini. L'may nafgemina? Is it under Vav or is it under Samach? It seems the Gedolei Olam that with the Mar the Shmeitzes in this Indian had a machloikis. Chad Omar v'chad Omar. Chad Omar, his name was Stini. V'chad Omar, his name was Ustini. Either way, Zok the Gemara Vayta. Hanu Beitrei. There were two people, the Havi Dairi, who were living together. One person was living on the top floor, the other person was living on the bottom floor. Ipchis mazeva. And then the tar, the plaster on the top of the floor, which is the ceiling of the person on the bottom, it went bad. And kimoshi maya, and when the person on top would wash his hands, so iloi asli, the water would go from the top, umaski le tatoi, and it would mazik the people that were living on the bottom. And the question was, who needs to fix this? I mean, this is like mamish 101, landlord-tenant type of stuff. So the question is, the person living on the bottom have to fix it, or the person living on the top has to fix it? Rabchi baraba omar, Rabchi baraba said, elyoi mesakin, the person living on the top has to fix it. Rabbi loy mishum, Rabchi bar yoisi omar, atachti mesakin, that it's the one living on the bottom has to fix it. And surprisingly, we have a simon over here, a pasuk in the Torah. The simon is V'yosef Hurad Mitzrayim. What's the simon? The simon is that Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, or some have the gears Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, which makes the simon even a little bit better. He said Hatachtoin Mesakin. You'll remember Yosef and Tachtoin. How are you going to remember Yosef and Tachtoin? The simon is V'yosef Hurad Mitzrayim. So this is above my pay grade, but we always say that the Aderis wrote a sefer called Megillah Simonim, where he goes through every single simon. So anytime you have a simon in Shas, You could always open up the Sefer Megillah Simonim, and very often you're going to find a Marganisa Tava. So either way, on this Simon, the Simonich, the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, see, he says that, why here did Chazal have to give us a Simon? Right, it's always a Shiloh. Why do you have Simonim in certain places? And usually Simonim are, where the Gemara brings in Ibaya, let's say, and there's going to be a whole bunch of Toshmas. There's going to be 18 Toshmas, and how are you going to remember all of them? So there's a Simon, which, by the way, is a Simon that you have to remember them, right? But the bottom line is, so you have Simonim when there's like a lot of information, and you come up with like a Yalkagam type of idea. So like this, you have your Simon. Over here, you need a Simon. It seems pretty straightforward. So he says it's Pashatim. The reason there was a Simon on this Gemara is because two things. Number one, both Amoron's name was Chia. It was Reb Chia Bar Abba, and it was Reb Chia Rabbi Yosi. So being that they're both Chia, they had the same first name, so the Gemara was a little bit afraid that you might forget. Which Chia is it? So one is Bar Abba, the other one's Bar Yosi. So the Simonich for Yosef were in Mitzrayim. But he adds one knitch. He says that who was the one that said Hatachtoin? It was Rabbi Loi Mishum Rabbi Chia Bar Yosi. And he says it's Mistaber that the Loi maid would think that maybe Rabbi Loi is the one that said Elyoin. Right? It sounds like a play on words. And sometimes the names do play on words. Kiyodua. So you could have thought that maybe this is a play on words. So he says it's for that reason. His lashon is that the Amoron, Ravina, Ravashi, when they were Masada the Gemara, Alkein Hutzruchu the Sake, Mi Mikra Mefurish, Shagam Tinoike Shal Beis Rabim Yoiden Oisoi, Sheben Yosef Omar Atachtoim. Number one, they're both Chia, but it's Yehuda Va'oid Likra. It's also Rabbi Elah is the one that says the Tachtoim. So it's just interesting understanding a little bit what went into when there's simen and when there's not a simen. Anyway, so we have a machloikas over here, right? We have a machloikas between Rabbi Chia Bar Abba and Rabbi Loi in the name of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. You see, whether in the event that the guy on the top floor, every time the sink runs, right, all of a sudden it's leaking into your ceiling. Who has to fix it? Does the person on the top have to fix it? Or does the person on the bottom have to fix it? The Gemara says, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. It would seem at first glance that maybe this machloikis is really a machloikis, Rabbi Yosni and the Rabbanon. Which machloikis, Rabbi Yosni, Rabbanon in our Mishnah? Now, what was machloikis? So when we spoke at the Mishnah, we said it's a machloikis, but even though it's not a furish in the Mishnah, it's a machloikis. But in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi says that although the person living in the bayis has to fix the aliyah, but he only has to provide the tikra. The guy on top, he has to provide the mazifa. And the Gemara's understanding is it's Rabbi Yosi's chiddush, but really the Rabbanon argue with this. And according to the Rabbanon, the person that lives on the bottom, he has to provide the mazifa. So there's a machloikis, who has to provide the mazifa? Fact. If you have a ceiling or a floor, and there's no mazeva, things are going to leak in. In fact, that was the story, right? And ifchis mazeva. So you have a machlekes, who needs to provide the mazeva? The person on the top or the person on the bottom? Says the Gemara, Gishmak the Mandom, Elyon Misakin the Mandom, that said that the Elyon has to be Misakin in that story, Kinsava, he holds. Al-Hamazik, Laharchik es Atzmoy min ha-Nizik. He holds, like Rabbi Yosi, who said in the Mishnah that the Elyon is the one that has to give the Maziva. And the Gemara explains the lumdus of it. You want to know what the lumdus of it is because if you're not going to do it, you're a Mazik, and Al-Hamazik, Laharchik es Atzmoy min ha-Nizik. If there's a Mazik and a Nizik that find themselves in this place where they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, where, which I tell you, I'm doing my thing, you're doing your thing, and I'm causing you damage. But the point is that the Reb Chia Bar Abba, who said Elyon Misakin, he holds like Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah that said that the Elyon is the one that has to give the Maziva. The lumdus of it is Ala Mazik Laharchik Es Atzma, it's his responsibility, otherwise you're another Mazik. And very good, he holds like that. The Mandama, Reb Chia Bar Yosef, who says that the Tachton is the one that has to fix it, because he holds Ala Nizik Lachas Atzma, he holds like the Rabbanon that holds the Tachton has to provide the Tikra, and he has to provide the Maziva as well, which is really based on the fact that in these types of situations, the Nizik is the one that has to be Marchik Es Atzma Min HaMazik, and says the Gemara, that would be the Machlok. But the Gemara says, V'tizbro, could you say that the machloikis, Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanon are Mishnah, is that machloikis, ala mazik laharchik, or ala nizik laharchik? So to be clear, the Gemara is not going to ask, could you say that the machloikis, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba and Rabbi Chia Bar Yosi, is ala mazik, ala nizik? We're saying that they hold like Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanon respectively in our Mishnah, and that's the machloikis, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon in the Mishnah. The Gemara is asking on that. Is that true? You can't say that. Because we know Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon really argued this point once upon a time, and they actually took the opposite positions. How so? The Tanan. And this is a Mishnah coming up. It's a Mishnah Meseches Bava Basra, Daf Chav hey amadeis. Machikin as ilam anabar esme bechamish ama. You have to make sure that you don't plant any trees within 25 amas next to a bar. The reason is because the roots of the tree are going to impact the bar, and you're going to cause damage. In the event that the tree that you're planting is a carob tree or a sycamore tree, it has to be 50 amas away. And it doesn't matter if they're on the same plane, meaning it's menatzad, or it's momailo. Let's say the tree is a little bit more elevated. If it's within that distance, it's no problem. Now the Mishnah continues and says as follows. In my bar called them, let's say the bar was there first, and then someone went and he planted a tree. He violated this halacha. So he has to cut down this tree. The noise ain't done, but he gets reimbursed. That sounds interesting. Why is it getting reimbursed? So we'll get to that in Bava Basra. Immo ilum kadam. If the tree was there first, then lo yakut. So he doesn't have to cut it down. Meaning, nobody asked you to put a bar in my tree. If I put a tree in your bar, yeah. But if you put a bar in my tree, then it's the other way around. Suffix that kadam. Let's say it's a suffix. Lo yikut. You don't have to cut it. Rabbi Yossi says, afal pisha bar koydemes leave. Even if the bar was there before the ilum. If I plant a tree in my own property, lo yikut. You can't force me to cut it. You were doing your thing. You were digging a bar. I was doing my thing. I was planting a tree. You can't force me to go and not do something in my own property. I, 25 amas from now, it's going to affect you. Vasatis midmir. Says the Gemara, Amba, what do you see from me? Rabbi Yossi holds, Alanizik laharchik atzmai. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm minding my own business. I could plant the tree. Ah, you're being damaged. I don't know. Figure it out. Right? It's your headache now. Alanizik laharchik atzmai. For Rabbanan Sabri, the Rabbanan say, no, you can't go plant the tree, even in your own property, within 25, 50 amas from someone else's rishos. What do you see from there? Alamazik laharchik atzmai. That he holds. Alamazik laharchik atzmai. So it's interesting. The Gemara says, you find taka machloikis Rabbi Yosi in the Rabbanan. Alanizik laharchik atzmai. Alamazik laharchik atzmai. In the sugi and Baba Basra. But the svar is actually just the opposite. You see, Rabbi Yosi holds al Hanizik laharchik esatzmai, and the Rabbanon hold alamazik laharchik esatzmai, which means ma, which means that the machlokes Rabbi Yosi and the Chum in our Mishnah, who has to provide the maziva, can't be alanizik v'alamazik, because it would come at the Rabbi Yosi, who says the Elyon has to give the maziva, holds alamazik, and above a basri holds alanizik, and the Rabbanon as well are going to come out vice versa. So again, what do we say? We're trying to understand the svar in the machlokes Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Yosi, as it relates to the two people where it was leaking and the maziva went bad, who has to fix it? Right? It's Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that. Elyon and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosi said Yosef Hurd Mitzrayim. He said it's the Tachdam. He said what's the machlokes? The machlokes is alamazik or alanizik. And what's that machlokes? Oh, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan in our Mishnah. So the Gemara said no. You can't say the machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan in our Mishnah are alanizik alamazik because we know they've argued this and they take the opposite positions. So the Gemara says very gushmak. The Gemara says Eli e ikula meimer de pligi bil plukta Rabbi Yosi Rabbanan the hasam kamifligi. If you want to tell me that they're arguing in a machlokes tanam, you could say they're arguing machlokes tanam and it's taka Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan. But rather, it's Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan of Yana Mishnah, and it's in fact just the opposite. The man, the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who said Elyon Misakein, he holds Alamazik Lachas Atzma. He holds like the Rabbanon over there in Bava Basra, with Rabbi Chiya bar Yosi, who said that the bottom guy, he has to fix it. It's because he holds like Rabbi Yosi over there, who holds Alanizik Lachas Atzma. Now, if that's the case, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon actually did argue Alamazik Alanizik, but their positions were that Rabbi Yosi holds Al ha nizik and the Rabbanon hold al hamazik. So it emerges then the machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon in our Mishnah is really just the opposite of the machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon in that Mishnah, which means essentially the machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanon in our Mishnah is not al nizik v'al hamazik, right? Because that's untenable. So it says Gemara Rabbi Yosi Rabbanon the hachem of my pligi. So what then is the machlokes by us? So the Gemara says bechoizik tikra kamifligi. The machlokes is a completely different machlokes. The machlokes is we're the way Rashi explains it. If you look at the first wide line, the Esek over here has nothing to do with people screaming over water. That's not even the issue. But rather, the issue is something else. The issue is where the person on top is screaming and he says, every time I walk, right, the floor is shaking a little bit, right? Do you feel it's a little uneven? And the guy thinks he's about to end up in, literally, this person's Shabbos Sudas. He's a little bit worried about it. Vani doyek. Rashi gets very graphic. Shemet ha-hafich echon mehem tachti. Oyte shomet min ha-kor ve-epol. I'm poshuv. I'm afraid of heights. I think I'm going to come falling through. And this is making me a little bit uncomfortable. And that's, then I'm talking about water. Loy alze anudonin. The person is simply saying that the ceiling is rattling a little bit. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you provided me with a ceiling, but Lamaisa, I'm not so comfortable. And the shaila is chosik tikra, right? As it relates to the mazeva that was always put on top. How do we view that? Rabbanan savi, the Rabbanan hold, mazivach suki tikra. That the role that the plaster plays is it's achsuke tikra. It strengthens the ceiling. Vachsuke tikra la tachtan. And it's mistaber than the tatakhtan has to provide it. If you have to provide the tikra, you have to make sure that it's going to be strong. That the purpose of the maziv is ashvuya gumais. It's just to smoothen out any gumais, right, of Masach de Shabbos fame, of any little crevices that there might be. That's really the purpose of it. And that is really the responsibility of the person living on the elyon. Either way, the nidin. And the he said going on in our Mishnah wasn't related to water. If it was related to water, could be Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim would take different positions based on their shita that they have in Maseches Bava Basra. They were arguing about something else. They were arguing, this person saying that it's a little just not safe. And the question is, who needs to provide that? Is the purpose of the maziva to strengthen the tikra? Then it's understood that the tachton would have to provide it. If it's ashvuye gumais, then it's understood that the elyon would have to provide it. But the Gemara concludes this discussion with one last question, and that is eini. From Ravashi, Ravashi said, ki avino de Rav Kahana, when I was by Rav Kahana, hava amrinon, they used to say, moide Rabbi Yossi, begiri delay. That even though Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah Masechtas Bava Basra, that I have a right to plant a tree in my rishos, even though the roots are going to extend and maybe impact your bar. And the reason I have a right to do that is because at the end of the day, I'm doing my own thing. Stating that, but Rav Ashi said, I heard that Rav Yossi is moid the begiri delay, that if it's an adam mazik, if you go and you're mazik, so over then the halacha is that ala mazik laharchik is atzmoy. So it's true, if what's happening is happening like more gromadig, then ala mazik laharchik is atzmoy. But giri delay, where it's an adam mazik, if I plant an elon in my rishos and then the roots go and impact your bard, that's not Eshay Misham Chitzav. But if it's Giri Delay, if it's literally my arrows, if that's the way it played itself out, so then Moide Rabbi Yosef the Giri Delay. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha is that what emerged from the aforementioned discussion was that according to Rabbi Yosef in Maseches Bava Basra, it would be okay for a person to wash his hands upstairs and not have to worry about any damage that's going on downstairs, right? In fact, the Gemara said that Rabbi Chir Bar Yossi, who said that Hatachtoin Mesakein, was going at Liba de Rabbi Yossi in Meseches Bava Basra, that Alanizik Laharchik is Atzmoy. But the Kasha is, if Moide Rabbi Yossi, Begiri Delay, well then, what comes out is that if it's an Adam Amazik, if I'm literally throwing something at you, in that case, even Rabbi Yossi is Moide Alamazik Laharchik is Atzmoy. If I'm washing my hands, every time I turn on the sink, water drips into the person living downstairs' apartment, well, that's Giri Delay 101. And if that's the case, Freik the Gemara, even Rabbi Yossi would hold Ala Mazik Lachik Ez Atzmoy. So again, what's it a kash on? We had the Machlokes Rabbi Chiya Bar Rabban, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yossi. In that case, with the two people were fighting, who has to pay for who's responsible? And the Gemara said, it's Tonga Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon. Freik the Gemara, it's not true. Because Moide Rabbi Yossi be Giri Delay, and even though Rabbi Yossi usually holds Ala Nizik Lachik Ez Atzmoy, but here it's Giri Delay, it should be Chayiv. And for the Gemara, the Paski Mai Vadanaf. You have to say the case was where it wasn't going directly in. So it's not the pshat that there's a hole somehow through the plumbing and the pipe and it ends up in this person's apartment. But rather, what happened was is that this person was washing his house in one area and it would go from that area and somehow make its way into this person's apartment, being that there was a hefsek. So we view it more like planting a tree where it impacts the roots of the bar. It's not a classical giri delay, and it's for that reason Rabbi Yossi Salach and Masechtas Bava Basra will very much be applicable. Zokt the Mishnah Vayter, another halacha related to a bias and an aliyah. Habayis for aliyah shal shnayim. What happens if there was a bayis and an aliyah that belonged to two people? So notice the words habayis for aliyah shal shnayim, which was the lashon of the Mishnah in the first Mishnah of the Parak. It was not the lashon of the previous Mishnah, right? Because the previous Mishnah we said was talking about where the person living in the bayis is the masker of the person living in the aliyah. It all belongs to one person. There's a tenant and a landlord. Over here, the bayis and the aliyah belong to two different people. So one person owns the bayis and the other person owns the aliyah. What happened? The whole thing came down. I'm a balaliyah, the balabayas, and balaliyah told the balabayas, live nice, will you please build your bayas? I can build my aliyah. Right? I can't have an aliyah if I don't have a bayas. For any rights to live nice. No, and he doesn't want. He refuses to build. Hari balaliyah, bainas a bayas. So the balaliyah has a right to build the bayas. So again, the balaliyah really owns the aliyah. But the balabayas doesn't want to build a bayas. So the balaliyah can go, he can build a bayas, fedar betoich, and live there, as sheitan leisitziyosav, till he gets reimbursed. But he has a right to live there, really shouldn't have a right to live there, but what should I do? I can't live in my house. Instead, I'm going to live in yours. Rabbi Yudah says, avzeh dar betoich shel chaveroi tzorich lahalois loischar. No, you can't go live there for free. Even though you built it, and this person not building it is tremendously impacting you. It doesn't matter. You don't have a right to go ahead and live in his house for free. Ela balaliyah boinus abayas, vot. What the balaliyah could do is as follows. He could build the bayis and build the aliyah, umikares el yoin, and even put a roof on top of the aliyah. Then he could be the yoshev bayis actually to yoshev, and then if he wants to live there, he can go ahead and live there. The Gemara is going to have a whole discussion to understand Shitas Rabbi Yehuda a little bit better, but just the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, I understand this person not building the bayis is impacting the person who wants to build his aliyah. Totally get it. We feel very sorry for him. But at the same time, it doesn't give him the right to go build the bayis and go live in the bayis. That's not something he can do. So what you could do is, however, is build the bayis and build the aliyah. And then, if you want, you can live in the bayis. That's a little bit counterintuitive, right? I mean, if I'm going to live in the bayis, so why am I building the aliyah? Just build the bayis, live in the bayis. There's no. You can't do that. You can build the bayis and the aliyah and then live in the bayis. So the way Rashi explains is because Rabbi Yehuda holds Zen Nen of Ezelei Chaser Chayiv. Again, it's going to be very much discussed in the Gemara, but for now, Rabbi Yehuda holds Zen Nen of Ezelei Chaser Chayiv. So although this person is a Zen Nen of Ezelei Chaser, right? Why is he a Zen Nen of Ezelei Chaser? Because I'm being Nena by building your house. You're like Chaser because you're not prepared to build it anyways. But if Zen Nena is only Chaser Chayiv, I can't just go ahead and do that. I can't have enough from you even though you're not losing anything. And it's for that reason I can't do it. Stating that, if I would build the bias and the aliyah, it would be fine. And the reason is because once I build the bias and the aliyah, now technically I can live in the aliyah. And being that I can technically live in the aliyah, so now already, I'm not being Nena so much by living in the bias because I anyways could have lived in the aliyah. It's for that reason, in that case, I'm considered a zeh loy nene, you're also a loy chaser, and zeh loy nene of a zeh loy chaser, certainly you're going to be potter. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss it a little bit in greater detail, but the bottom line is that in the event that the bias belongs to one person, and the aliyah belongs to another person, and the whole bias and the whole aliyah, the entire empire came crumbling down, and the Baal aliyah is begging the Baal bias, just rebuild the bias, I can build my aliyah, and he says, I don't have money, I can't do it, it's not the right time, I'm sorry, could the Baal aliyah go build the bias by himself and live in the bias? You could hear that he would be able to, maybe. According to the Chachamim, he could. Until he reimburses him. Meaning, if he reimburses him for the construction cost, then he gets to live there, and now go start building your aliyah, but I can throw you out. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not so pashut. And the reason it's not so pashut is because at the end of the day, it's a zen nene v'zelei chaser. I'm being nene by living in the bayis. You're like chaser. Why are you like chaser? Because you weren't prepared to do it anyways. But Rabbi Yehuda's shit is, for now anyways, zeh nene v'zelei chaser is chayiv, and it's for that reason I can't do it. If I build the bayis and the aliyah, then if I want to live in the bayis, I could, because then I'm not such a nene from the bayis, because I anyways could live in the aliyah. Zeh loy nene v'zelei chaser. Over there you're going to be chayiv. Now, two things that are just kedai highlighting. We're not going to go into this now, but two things. Number one, that's pashut, that the baal aliyah can't force the baal bayis to build a house. He can't do that. Can't like sue him in court. Go build a house. He has no right to that. The best he can do is build it himself and maybe live there. But more than that, he can't do it. And the Rishonim have a big discussion. Why not? You would think that he would have some cheshemishpa diga claim to be able to force him to build it. But it sounds like that's not even off the dish, right? Just not even a possibility that's being discussed over here. Another thing that's worth mentioning is there's a Rashi in the Mishnah where Rashi says that the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Zen Nen of a Zelei Chaser problem over here is because there's going to be Ribbis. And the reason there's going to be Ribbis is because think about what's happening over here. The Baal Aliyah is going to rebuild the bias. Okay, it's going to cost him $10,000 to do the construction. See, he's fronting the $10,000, he's going to live in the bias. What happens when the Baal Abayis comes up with the money? He's going to give him back the $10,000 and he's going to evict him. You know what it looks like? It looks like I loaned you $10,000. And in exchange for me loaning you the $10,000, I lived in your house. That's Ribbis. So Rashi says, you want to know what the Nekud is? It's Ribbis. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says two things. Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda holds Zen and Avazali Chosik Chayiv. And also, this Ribbis. Frey Toysfis, two things. He says, number one, where's the loan? He didn't really lend the money. So what's Rashi going to tell you? We learned Ezu Neshech. There's a lot of Ribbis problems where he didn't really lend the money. But Toysfis adds a Knesh. Toysfis says, what would be if the house got burnt down? I put up all the money and then the house got burnt down. I can't have any claim on the masker because I didn't lend the money. If you lend somebody money, okay, so you can take afilu glima dal kasfe. But over here, I never lent you money. I have a right to front the money and live there. But in halacha, we don't view it as a loan. Vahar raya, if something happens to the house, the quote-unquote loiva, the masker won't have to give him anything. So it's not a loan. If it's not a loan, why does it be a ribbis? And besides, Tosfos says, vos Rashi, what's bothering Rashi that you can't simply say that the reason he's chayv according to Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that nefesh alei chasa chayv. So just what do you need this whole additional knech of saying that it's mechzik ribbis? There's a big tzoyis in Kuf Samech Dalud Beis that talks about this sheet as Rashi. Either way, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'shloish mekaymos shana lana Rabbi Yehuda asal adam shi'anim imam mechaver." There are three places where the great Rabbi Yehuda taught us the following halacha: that it's aser for a person to have hana mimam mechaver. Interesting. You can't simply have hana mimam mechaver. Tap Rashi shaloi b'matana ad shetei midaytei v'noichola. Meaning, if I own something and you want to have it, unless I give it to you as a gift, or at the very least, I have das, and I say, yeah, I want you to be able to enjoy it, the halacha is, you cannot have anah from somebody else's money. Now, it would seem intuitive. Obviously, you can't just have anah from other people's money. But we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda said three halachas that are all somewhat mechodeshtik, and Rabbi Yochanan felt that they're all really underpinned by the same common denominator. And that is, also la'odam she'yohana mimam chaveroi, even to a little bit of an extreme level. Chada, what's the first maramakim for this? Chada tanan, unzere mishnah. What do you see in our mishnah? Habayis v'aliyah. And the Baal Habayis didn't want to rebuild the Habayis. So the Baal Habayis says, no problem, I'll front the money. And he wants to live there. According to Rabbi Yehuda, says, no, you can't live there. It's not okay, you got to pay rent. You're not going to be able to live there. Why can't he live there? So Rabbi Yochanan understood, because also adam she'yohanim imam in chaveira. Now, the way the Rishonim explain them, and certainly the way Tosfos explains it, this is a Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Chayiv. Oh, so it's Meredik. Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Chayiv means that even though you're Loi Chaser, but at the same time, if I'm a Zen Nen, that's a problem. Why? Because Asal Adam Shihanim Imam Chaver. So if Rabbi Yehuda's Sheet in the Mishnah is Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Chayiv, just to keep things simple, so it's Meredik. You see, that is Shnitas Rabbi Yehuda. What's the next one? Idach Mahi. That now we learned in a Mishnah. Hanois and Samer Litzavo. We've seen this Mishnah so many times. If somebody gives wool to a professional dyer, he says, can you please dye red, and he dyed it black. Shachar b'tzav yadam, and he swore, he said, please dye it black. He ended up dyeing it red. Remei, Omer Remei, since noisim leid made smarter. The halacha is that he has to give him back the value of the wool. This is Remei Shita, who holds kol ha'mashana, is treated like a gazlin, shina koina, and as a result, we look at him as a gazlin on the tzemer, and what do you pay? You pay kei masha gazal. So whatever the value of the tzemer was, at the time that you started with this shinui, you paid the dmei tzemer, that's what you give him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, Ima shvach yoyisra la yitzah, noisun la yitzia. If the shvach is greater than the yitzia, then he gives him the yitzia. Ma yitzah yisera la shvach, noisun la shvach. And if the yitzah is greater than the shvach, he gives him the shvach. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that, no, it's not so simple. You can't just give him back the value of the tzemer and keep this whole fancy beggar over here. But rather, there's a cheshmin yodel tachtoino of exactly how it plays itself out. Rabbi Yochanan understood what pshan and shittas Rabbi Yehuda. He held pshan and shittas Rabbi Yehuda is that why should we allow this gazlin to go ahead and benefit from somebody else's baguette? This guy went and he bought a baguette. And now he brought it to a tzemer. A lot of tircha went into this baguette. Now you give it to him, he goes ahead and he's mishana, and all of a sudden, noisleid made tzmaroi, and I get to keep this baguette. You're being nenami mam and chaveroi. And this is Rabbi Yehuda Lashitas, he's like Rabbi Yochanan, that holds asal adam she'yohanam imam. Meaning, the way Rameir understands it, you're making this guy hold, you're writing him a check, but at the end of the day, you're having hanah from it. That's where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rameir. He doesn't have is not okay with that. And as a result, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa, like in our Mishnah, this is the second time that he holds that you can't have ana mimam and chavev. Idach mai, what's the third case of time? We learned in a Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah at the very, very end of Maseches Bava Basra. Mishnah par mixas chayvoy. If somebody paid mixas of his chay, there's a loiv and a malvan. The loiv goes and he paid part of the chay. The hishlash ashtaroy. Now, instead of tearing up the shtar, writing a new shtar, what they decided was they're going to find a third person that they trust. Let this person hold on to the shtar, and when it comes time, he'll pull out the shtar and everything will be good. Meaning, what's the issue? The issue is, there's a shtar that says that somebody lent somebody $1,000. He just paid $500, and now he doesn't owe him $1,000 anymore. He owes him $500. If the malva is still going to have the shtar that says that he loaned someone $1,000, he'd be able to collect $1,000. That's a problem. So what do we do? What they did was, is they found a third honest man who they were both trusting, and they told him, you go ahead and we'll trust you that you're going to be moida that $500 of this was already paid. Either way, the case was as follows. Again, someone was part of Mixas Choyfoy. V'hishl Zashtari. V'amalei, and he told him like this. If I don't make the rest of the payment, you give him the whole shtar. I mean, right now the shlish is holding on to the shtar. It's sitting in a proverbial escrow account. But he says, if I don't make the payment by a certain time, feel free to give it to the malva. No worries. He wants to collect the whole thing. He can collect the whole thing. So what's the halacha? Gives malva loy nasan. Let's say, okay, the time came and he didn't make the payment. Rabbi Yosi emir yitain. Rabbi Yosi says, you give the malva the shtar. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo yitain. You don't give him the shtar. Why not? Why not? Why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda give him the shtar? He said you can give him the shtar. I'll let him collect the whole thing. So why is it a problem? Oh, the reason it's a problem is because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want this malva having hanami mavin chaveira, and as a result, it's not okay. Now over here it was a shtickel midaitoi, and it was a shtickel noichalei, right? It's a little bit different over here, but even that we assume it's not a full gemiras das, and as a result, the halacha is he can have hanah from it. So this is a third time where Rabbi Yehuda seems to take a position. Again, at first glance, these three halachas have nothing to do with each other, right? One is a sugya in Zenen of Zalei Chaser, and the other one is a sugya in Gazlin, and this one is a sugya, maybe in Asmachta, as we'll see in a minute. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yochanan said, I see a Bria Chatichan over here. All three times, Rabbi Yehuda is taking this extreme position that I don't like people just making parnasa for nothing of somebody else. You're living in somebody else's bias. Nah, I'm not okay with that. You went and you were Mishana as a dyer, and all of a sudden you're going to profit off of it? It's not going to happen. And you're a Malvin, you're going to collect from a Leibig, and I know he said it. No, he's not going to leave Malvin. I don't care. I'm not okay with that. So, says Rabbi Yochanan, I think the three Rabbi Yehudas are one. But the Gemara says, Vamai. Or some have the gear say, Mimai. Let's go through all three Rabbi Yehuda's namuchach. Maybe it's true Rabbi Yehuda said as Allah in our Mishnah, but that's Elomishum de Ika Shachru Risa. It could be the only reason he said as Allah in our Mishnah is because in our Mishnah, the walls are going to get dark. Meaning, when this person, the Baal Aliyah, is going to live in the bias, he's actually going to cause a little bit of damage to the bias. How's it going to cause damage? The walls are going to become schwarz. And because he's causing damage, so it could be this is Zenene Vizachasr. Oh, Zenene Vizachasr. Avadu Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold chayv. It's not Zenene Vizachasr. It's really Zenene Vizachasr. Now you have to know Pshan and the Chachamim. But Al Kopanim, it's going to be a Zenene Vizachasr. And if it's Zenene Vizachasr, you don't see that Asul Adam Sheyahanim Imam Chaveroi. That would be true if it's Zenene Vizachasr. This is Zenene Vizachasr. Inami, as it relates to the Tzvayle Adam and Tzavay Shachar, it could be over there, it's Mishon de Kamashana. It could be the reason in the case of the Tzava, we don't let this guy profit because he was a Mishana. What does it mean he was a Mishana? He was a Gazlin. He did the wrong thing. Right? Why? Because you did the wrong thing. So being that you did the wrong thing, that's why I have a problem with it. I don't want a Gazlin. I don't want a Russia. The Bias and Dalia guy is not a Russia. It's not Mamish, the same thing. And it could be as relates to Misha Parah Mixas Choyvei. It could be how the Asmacht of Hashemina the Rebbe Yudah it's because Asmacht of Leikanya. And because he also Asmacht of Leikanya, he never meant it, he never said it. It's a Fashteitzach, it's not the Halacha. If all it is an Asmacht, so it's for that reason, in that case, it's going to be a difference. Let's just hit the pause button again. One more Ha'ara. And that is that, so we have over here a case where the Bias and the Aliyah came down. One person was living in the Bias, the other person was living in the Aliyah. The Baal Aliyah tells the Baal Bias, will you please rebuild your Bias? I can build my Aliyah. He refuses to do so. He now goes and he builds the Bias by himself. Could he live there or could he not live there? According to the Chachamim, he could live there. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he cannot live there. The Gemara first thought that the reason Rabbi Yehuda holds he can't live there is based on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Chayiv. But the Gemara says no, it has nothing to do with Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser. In fact, this is a Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser. And the reason is Mishum De'ika Shachri Rusa. It's because being that you're blackening the walls, and being that you're blackening the walls, so it comes that you're causing him some level of chaser, and being that you're causing him a level of chaser, so it's for that reason, it's Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser. That's why you want to live to pay rent, but if you don't pay rent, you're not going to be able to live. The truth is that the sugya of Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser is above a Kama Daf Chaf, right? That's the Ikar Marim Makam, the primary source for the sugya. And over there, when the Gemara was trying to figure out Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Chayev, it was Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Pater, so the Gemara brought Chitas Rabbi Yehuda, Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, our Mishnah, you have to pay rent if you want to live in this person's house. So the Gemara says, don't you see from Rabbi Yehuda that he holds Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser Chayev? And the Gemara answers what the Dicha in our sugya was. Shani Hasa Mishum Shachri Rusa De Ashiyasa. Being that over there you're going to blacken the walls, so it's not Nen of Azalei Chaser, rather it's Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser. And Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser, everybody holds that you're going to be Chayev. Tosfos. In the sugya here above a comma, the Tosfos happens to be on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, but it's really going behemshach here in this sugya. Tosfos says that you see from this Gemara, and he says you see it from other Gemaras as well. It's a very short Tosfos, but he says you see from this Gemara. This is the one that he highlights a very interesting chiddush in the sugya of Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser, and that is that Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser is fine. Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser is nafah. Meaning, Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser could be your partner. You don't have to pay. But Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser, you're going to be chayef. In this Gemara, you see that as long as there's a little bit of a chaser, then the halach is you have to pay for all the anah that you got. In other words, in our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Yehuda's case, where this person is going to rebuild the bayis and he's going to live there. He's going to have anah. What's the anah? I don't know. A comparable apartment rents for $1,000 a month. Okay, so he's having another $1,000 a month. He's going to live there for 12 months, let's say. He's going to get $12,000 worth of hana. Zen Nen of Azalei Chaser, you should be potter. Now, Yechayef. You know what Yechayef? Mishum Shachri Rusa Dash Yosef. Says Tosfos, how much does it cost to get rid of the Shachri Rusa Dash Yosef? What is the damage of the Shachri Rusa Dash Yosef? The damage is, let's say, $1,000. Okay, so I had enough $12,000. I'm causing you damage of $1,000. Therefore, I have to pay you the full $12,000. If Zen Nenev Azalei Chaser is potter, so even if you want to tell me, oh, there's a chaser, therefore I'm chayev, so my chiev should be the equivalent of whatever the chaser was. So what's the value of the shachirus adash yasa? Let's give it a number. $1,000? I'm going to say that. I'll have to give you $1,000. But the other $11,000 I should be potter. Tosfos says, you see from this Gemara, that the minute there's a chaser, at that second that there's a chaser, al zen nema, you're a zen nema, a chaser, and now you have to pay the whole dmei hana. And Tosfos speaks to that as if it's a chiddush. And Kemuvan, it is a chiddush. But that's Tosfos' chiddush. He says, you see from here, umach maskein, I'm reading Tosfos' lashon, chayv l'shalim mashenene, afal pishu lo yichiser kolkach. V'chein muchach kula shmaitin, kidomino le'il mishum shachirus adashiyasa. That's the whole Tosfos. That you see from shachirus adashiyasa, and Tosfos really from kula shmaitin, but certainly from this Gemara, you see it in a very acute way, that the minute there's a chas, if you hold zenen, if it's all a chas of potter, now it's going to be chay for everything. Stating that, the Ramah, Chadman or Yishayim is Chayuk. And the Ramah says no. The Ramah says that even though Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be Chayiv, but at the same time, you're only going to be Chayiv for the value of the Shachrirusa Dash Yasa. But to have to pay more than the Shachrirusa Dash Yasa, that you're not going to have to pay. In other words, we have a big time. Machloikis Rishonim, as it relates to Zen Nen of Azeh Chaser, that's Chayiv. Are you only Chayiv Kethi, how much you were Mechaser? Or are you going to be Chayiv? Even not if you were a machas, you're going to be chayef for the entire Dmei Hana. Says the Ktsois in Simen Shin Samech Gimel, Siv Katan Dalet. What's the beer in the machloikis? Pasha, what it sounds like, the machloikis is, Tosfos understood that a person is chayef for having hana from somebody else. Norvos, it has to be betanai that there's a chaser. The minute there's a chaser, I'm chayef for all the hana that I had. Whereas the Ramah held that there's no chayef really for having hana from somebody else. What then is the chiyuv? The chiyuv where Zenet of Ezech Chaser is for what I was machasa you. Meaning, it's kilo, I was mazik you, and I'm chaya for being mazik. So what was I mazik? I was mazik, the shachirusa dash yasa. So if that's what I was mazik, that's what I'm going to be chaya for. Tosfos holds I'm chaya for the hana. No, there's a tenai, there's a condition, there has to be a chaser. Since there's a condition, there has to be a chaser mu'it is enough for it to be considered a chaser, that it's a zen and it's a chaser, I'm chayef for the demei hana. Whereas the Ramah holds, I'm chayef al tzmazik, I'm chayef al tzmazik, I can't be chayef for more than I was mazik. As always, you have to say it's pasha. But he says that there's one thing that I don't understand. And that is, the Mishnah said, that Rabbi Yehuda says, that although you can't just go ahead and build the bias and live in the bias, but at the same time, you could build the bias and the aliyah, and then you can live in the bias. And then you're fine. You don't have to pay the guy anything. Freit the Ktzois, according to the Ramah, that we view Shachirusa da Shiasa as what? As a mazik, and that's why I'm only chayah for that. So what? Just because I built my aliyah too, I have a right to be mazik you? Meaning, Bishloima, if the aside of the chayah is for Nene, and I'm chayiv al tzdin zenene v'zeh chaser. So once I build my own house, I'm a loy nene already. So if I'm a loy nene, I can hear it a little bit. But if I'm chayiv al tzmazik, mali if I built aliyah, or mali if I didn't build aliyah. And really the kash is starker. Because at the end of the day, if I'm living in your house, and this shachrirusa dashiasa, so I'm a mazik. The Ramah gradually learns the whole sugya that way. Let's say you don't learn the sugya that way. But at the end of the day, I'm a mazik. So if I'm a mazik, why am I not going to be chayiv? As I fake tiktos. Meaning, if there's something called shachirusa dashiyos, and you see from the Ramah that we view it as being a mazik, but for sure the Gemara says that it's a zen and a vazach chaser al shachirusa dashiyos. So if the tiktos' kasha is, so why does it make a difference if I rebuild the aliyah? Rabbi Yehuda, in the first, the last part of the Mishnah says, if you rebuild the aliyah, in that case, it's going to be okay. Why is it going to be okay? At the end of the day, I was masik. And if I was masik, you actually be chayim than masik. So the Ktzayis Kedarki B'Kodesh says a davar nifla. And then we're going to go right there. And that is, there's a Gemara Masechtas, Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Chesam Aleph. It's in Perik HaGoyz Aleitzim. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Hazoyrik Matbeya Shal Chaver Li Yama Gadol. If somebody takes his friend's matbeya and he throws it into the Yama Gadol, Potter. Your potter. Now, if you ask me, it sounds like Mazik 101 101 101. You took your friend's money and you threw it into the Yama Gadol. Zok Rabba potter. My time. What's the reason? Omar, because this Zoyre could always say, Hamanach Kamach, you buy a shakle. It's the big deal, right? Put on a diving suit and go get it. I don't understand. It's right there. I wasn't Mazik you. So the Gemara says like this. You have to read the not such fine print. The only time this is true is if the water is clear. The kachazile, you could see it. Abalachurin, if the water is murky, the loy kachazile, loy. Additionally, vahani mili, the Gemara makes a few protim. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is if somebody takes his friend's matbe and he throws it into the Yamagata, and you can go hire a diver and get it, Taloch is you are going to be potter. Freik Rashi, Akasha, why are you potter? This guy's going to hire a diver. It's going to cost him money, right? So you should be chayef. And for Rashi, that's not shver. Why not? Because you're a grandma. And for that, grandma ben azokin potter. Zoktik tzois, and this is such an important tzois, that you see from this Gemara, Yesoid Godol in the Bavis. And that is, that if somebody is mazik somebody, but it's very easy for this person to go ahead and repair this damage, you're not a mazik. You know what you are? You're a grumma because you're forcing him now to spend money. Of a grumma ben azokin potter. This is a very big chiddush. But the Ktzai says that dosh teit in degemari here in Bava Kama Daf Tzad Lechesam Adalf. I threw the matbeya. Well, the matbeya is there. You go hire a diver. Says the Ktzai, if somebody's living in a house and all of a sudden there's shachrirusa dashiasa, hire a painter. I didn't break the wall down. I wasn't mazik. What did I do? Yeah, it's not kishmak right now. There's a physical damage. It's irreparable? You need to buy a new, you have to break down the house, you have to sell it and buy a new one? No, you need a painter. Okay, so it's like taking a matbeya, throwing it into the yam and hiring a diver. If that's the case, I really wasn't mazik. You nervous? I was going to mazik. You're going to have to go hire a diver. That's Grom ben Azokin. And Grom ben Azokin is really going to be potter. But Al Kopanin, this is what the Ktzai says. That's why the Shachirusa Dashiasa could be the Rishonim Eld is not really a mazik. That's why the whole reason really to Dan is that it's a chaser. You wonder if I was mechaser? Yeah. So in the sugya of Zenene v'zeh chaser, Shachirusa Dashiasa heist a chaser. But it could be in the sugya of mazik. Not again, the Ramah clearly seems to say that it's al mazik. That's why he limits the amount you have to pay to the value of the hezek, of the pashas, is not like the Ramah. And that is that even a little bit of chaser would now be mechayiv you for the entire nena. Once you're a zen nena, v'zeh chaser, now you're chayiv for all the hana. Why isn't shachirusa dashios at the end of the day? L'maisa, why is it not a mazik? The teretz in zoktik tzoyis, it's like the person that threw a matbeya into the yam agadol, where the halacha is, that being that you could always hire divers, you're not really considered a mazik. The expense, that's already gone, but a zokin, das hot nishmit me. Zoktik gemara vayta. Amra vacha bar adam shmeidu ula. Tachten abal l'shanois, Bigvil, Shaimeloi, Begazis, Ain Shaimeloi. So again, we're talking about a situation where there was a bias and aliyah. One person owns the bias, the other person owns the aliyah. It came crumbling. Now the person that's living in the bias is going to fix this whole situation. He's going to build his bias. Now, he went to build his bias. He decided he's building it a little bit differently. So let's say he decided that he wants to be Mashana, and what's the Shinoi? It's Bigvil. So till now, he had Avnei Gazis, and now he's going to have Avnei Gvil. Now, Rashi gives the long version of how this works. Interestingly enough, Rashi quotes Bavabasra Dav Bezamir Aleph, which is coming up right around the corner. Rashi says, and the Gemara over there is going to explain this a little bit better. But for our purposes, what we need to know is that the Gvil is stronger than the Gazis. And it's for that reason, if the person living on the bottom says, instead of having Gazis, I want to have Gvil, Rashi says that the Gazis was 5 tfachim wide, the Gvil was 6 tfachim wide. It's a little sturdier. It's stronger. So it's an upgrade. If it's an upgrade, it's okay. Right? What's the person on the top going to say? I don't want it to be stronger. I don't know. I'm making it better for you. Right? Now, right, you learn from your mistakes. If this bias in Aliyah came down, right, because of some northern wind, so you might want to rethink the way you construct this. So if he wants to go ahead and make it better, the guy on top can't protest. Shaymalay, because it's ain't Shaymalay. Let's say he wants to downgrade. He wants to go from Gvil to Gazis. You don't listen to him. Why? Because the guy on the top is going to say that I don't let you do this. Bikfisin Shaymalay, but Levainim ain't Shaymalay. If you want to go from Levainim to Kfisin Shaymalay, because that's making it better. If you want to go from Kfisin to Levainim ain't Shaymalay, that's making it worse. Again, these are different types of bricks that we use. Again, Ayin Rashi. L'sachich ba'arozen shaymeloi, b'shkomen ein shaymeloi. If the guy in the bottom says that, you know, until now I had sycamore wood, that was the ceiling, I want to upgrade it to arozen. Oh, that's great. It's good for the person living on the aliyah. If you want to go in the reverse, you want to go from arozen to shkomen, you're making it a weaker aliyah, so that's not okay. L'mayit b'chaloimois shaymeloi, l'harbis b'chaloimois ein shaymeloi. If the guy says, I want to have less windows is a good thing, right? Windows, Rashi says, means that the wall's not going to be as sturdy. A wall is stronger than a window. So if he says less windows, we don't listen to him. But if he wants to have more windows, adarabba, lahagbia in shaymeloi, limay shaymeloi. If he says, I want to make it a little bit higher, I want my walls to be higher. So that means that I'm going to have to walk up 3 extra steps every time I walk into my house. You can't do that. Limay, if you want to make it a little bit lower, that already shaymeloi. El yin shabal v'shanois. What if the guy on top was the one that was building it and he wants to make shinuyim? Now he's making shinuyim on the top. So he's making the shinuyim in his aliyah because shaymeloi. So everything is going to be in the reverse, right? Because it's a maila for the aliyah guy to have a stronger bias, but it's a chasarin for the person living in the bias to have a stronger aliyah. Because if there's something stronger on top, there's a better chance it's going to cave in on him. So if the elyon wants to be mishana to a gazis, that's the downgrade shaymeloi. Bigvil, if he wants to upgrade, he's making it stronger in shaymeloi because it's harder for the person on the bottom. Bikfisin, which is the upgrade in shaymeloi, bilavainim, which is the downgrade shaymeloi. Barozin, which is the upgrade in shaymeloi, bishikman, which is the downgrade shaymeloi. Lurabis mechaloinois, which again is the downgrade. It's not as heavy on top, shaymeloi. L'mayit b'chaloimois, ain't shaymeloi. L'hagbia, if he wants to make it higher, ain't shaymeloi. L'mayit, if he wants to make it lower, shaymeloi. If you want to go through the Rashis, obviously for better understanding, ayin sham. Again, just we pretty much went through it. But there's one Rashi that's kedai to read inside, and that is Dibra Maschel B'Levenim. It's the third line in that Rashi. Klal Adover. This is the rule of thumb. Hatachton shemarchiv oivei abinyan umachaskei shaymala. If when the Tachton is rebuilding his bias, he makes it stronger, we listen to him. The emimayet chizukai ain't shaymala. But if he makes it less strong, we don't listen to him. Shayel yon toyan loy l'macha yipo. Because the guy in the top is going to say, tomorrow this is going to come down. The and as it relates to the guy on top, if the guy on top wants to make it heavier, the person on bottom could be ma'akiv. But if he's making it less heavy, then we are going to listen to him. One last gemara. What happens if the bias and the aliyah came down? And what do they both not have? Rashi says both don't have money. They're both aniyim. And they have no choice. They're going to have to sell the property right now. They can't build it, so what are they going to do? So they have to sell it. And the question is, how do you divvy up the money between the person who lives in the bias and the person who lives in the aliyah? Who owns the actual property? Right, the person on the bias is a little bit closer to the property. But what rights does the Baal Aliyah essentially have in the property? Tanya Reb Nosson, Reb Nosson says, Tachtoin noitel shnei chalokim va'elyon shlish. The person living on the bottom gets 2/3, and the person living on top gets 1/3. Achayim ma'irim tachtoin noitel shloish chalokim. The person living on the bottom gets not 2/3; he gets a little bit more. He gets 3/4, 75%. Va'elyon noitel revi, and the person on the top gets 1/4. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, "Nekoyt Reb Nosson biyotcha. You should follow Reb Nosson, the dainahu, because Reb Nosson's a dain v'noches lo'um kededina, and he knew how to figure these things out. Right? This is classic Reb Nosson. Why? What's so brilliant about what Reb Nosson said? Because Reb Nosson made the following cheshbon. Kama mafsad aliyah bebayis. He says, if you have a bias standing on its own, versus if you put an aliyah, how much is the aliyah going to cause the bias to depreciate? Meaning, the assumption is the aliyah, it causes there to be tension on the bias, and it causes it to get somewhat devalued. So kama mafsid aliyah bebayis. How much is a mafsid? It tells us it's 1/3. Oh, so if the aliyah causes the bias to lose 1/3 of value, Hilka Chislei Tilsa, makes sense that he should have a yichus to be able to have 1/3. So just to end with one last ta'ara, and that is, so we have over here Reb Nosson, who is a dayin, v'noches lo'um kededina, ad kedei kach. We had a machloikis between Reb Nosson and the Chachamim in terms of how to understand the bias of aliyah shenaflu, where it's ein loy loy lo zeh ve loy lo zeh, and they're going to sell the karka. Reb Nosson said that you take 2/3, and you give it to the tachton, 1/3 to the elyon, in contrast to acherim. And what did Rabbi say? Nekoyt Reb Nosson biyotcha, the dainahu, the nachas lo'um kededina. The truth is that in the world of klali apsak, one of the klalim is that we paskin like Reb Nosson when it comes to issues of dinei mamonos. And really, it's based on this gemara, and it's based on this idea of nekoyt Reb Nosson biyotcha, the dainahu, the nachas lo'um kededina. So Reb Nosson is, we've mentioned in the past, one of the more underrated Tanaim in Shas, right? Reb Nosson was Reb Yehuda Anossi's partner in terms of the author of the Mishnah. It was Rebbe and Reb Nosson Abavli, who is the Tana Reb Nosson. So incredibly, he somehow gets overlooked. But we know Reb Nosson is someone that's quoted a lot in Chayesh HaMishpat. Shibudah the Reb Nosson comes to mind. But the bottom line is that Reb Nosson, the Gemara says, was Dainu V'Nachas Um Kededina, and Achab Senaf Kemina La'alocha. And that is that we paskin like Reb Nosson in all areas of Dinei Mamonos. Now, there are discussions amongst the Mora D'Shmaitzes of Kolei Apsak. What if it's Reb Nosson against a rabbin? Meaning, Yochid V'Rabbin Malachik Rabbin. Does Reb Nosson override even a rabbin? What would be if it's a machloikis between Reb Nosson and Rabbi Akiva? Maybe Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov? Or maybe Reb Nosson V'Chavei Rav? Right? Anytime you start getting involved, one of his rabbein, right? Halacha kerebi mei chaveroi of avoloi mei rabbi, right? So again, this is always a lot of fun to try to figure out where the halacha like Reb Nosson fits into some of the other klolim that it may intersect with. But I saw one very interesting maramakim, and this is in the Yad Malachi, and it's under Reb Nosson. Tof kuf tzadik alf. Sestam, nekoy tai klola biyotcha, pun intended. That if you ever wanted to research an Indian like this, the first sefer that it's probably could die to go to is the Yad Malachi. So I was looking at the Yad Malachi to see if he had a klal on Reb Nosson, and sure enough, it's number 591. It's called Reb Nosson, and he says, quote, Dainahu v'nachas lo'um kededina. He quotes it from Bava Kamenu and Gimel Amad Aleph. It's also here in Bava Metzia Kuf Yedzayin Amad Beis. V'hilchas o'kavoseh. And the halachas like it. And then he goes through some of these different permutations, and Kedarka B'Kodesh, with his incredible brilliance, he brings different rayas from different Rishonim. So he says like this, Umidei Dabri Bahidin Adarim Ro'isi B'divei Rashi Zah. He said, I saw a mefarish in Mesechtes Nedarim that says an unbelievable Kiddush. So what's this mefarish? So the Gemara over there is a hard Nedarim sugya. It's discussing the laws of Afaris Nedarim. The Shaila over there is like this. The Shaila is, if a woman makes a neder that her husband has the ability to be mefer, but she made the neder ala Tanai, and the Tanai wasn't the Skyim yet, and as a result, you would think that the husband can't be mefer the neder. So the question is, could he be mefer? Could he not be mefer? So again, it's a neder that b'cheftzusai, the husband should be able to be mefer, right? It's, you know, nefesh, it's dvarim shebenoi lebeno, it checks off one of the boxes. The reason we're having this conversation is because the neder didn't go into effect yet. And the reason the neder didn't go into effect yet because the neder was made ala tanai, And the Tanai didn't play itself out. Once the Tanai spiels the chayis, so then the nether will be chal, then for sure the husband will be able to be mefer. The question is, could the husband be mefer now, as soon as there was a maisa nether, or do you need the chalois nether? So there's a stam mishnah that says, hareza yofer, which means the husband can be mefer right away. Saying that the Gemara brings a braisa, and in the braisa it's a machloikis, according to the chachamim, yeah, yofer, Rab Nosson's chaylik, and Rab Nosson says lo yofer. And then the Gemara tells a story. The Gemara says, "Ahu gavet, there was a person, the itzer hanayasa da alma ola. He made a neder, I will not have anah from any person in the whole world. Inosif itzer. Ala tanai. What was the tanai? If I get married to a woman, kiloi tanina hilchasa. Before I know how to learn." So this person wanted to motivate himself and incentivize himself to become a great Salamdin. So he said, I'm going to learn. I'm telling you, I'm so sure I'm going to learn. If I don't learn, I can't get married. Because if I get married and I don't walk down my chuppah being a great Salamdin, then I won't be able to have enough from anybody, which is a problem. And as a result, he basically put himself in a situation where he was forced to go learn. So the Gemara says something that's almost hard to believe. Roi begapa vituvliya. V'lei amtsi l'mesna. Right. Ran. He ran with his rentzel and he ran with his shtekina. His shtadl b'kol koychei v'moid. He tried as much as he possibly could. But v'leyamtzi l'misni l'yol b'yadoi. So he was a yogati v'loy matzasi, which usually al tamin. But this is what this guy did. And the Gemara is made that as hard as he tried, it wasn't working out. Also Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. So Rav Acha bar Rav Huna came v'shabshe. What he did was he fooled him. And he somehow told him that, listen, I understand you made this neder, and you're already becoming an alter bacher. Listen, don't worry about it. Just get married. You have nothing to worry about as it relates to the neder. The intzivitza, and he went ahead, and he got married. Either way, the Gemara, skipping a little bit, Asi l'kami de Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda heard about this story. I mean, he heard that this guy had made a neder. The neder was that if he gets married, not being a great Talmud Chacham, he's going to have this tremendous neder that's going to be on his plates. He was fooled into getting married, and now he's stuck with this neder. So what do you do? See, he comes to Rav Chisda. Amar Rava, Rava said, Man chokim l'mavid ki ha milsa. Rava was present. He says, oh, what a genius. What a genius was Rav Acha bar Rav Huna that he got him to go ahead and get married, the Gavir Rabbahu. He's such a Gavir Rabbah. Why? Why is he a Gavir Rabbah? Because so far he held the Kiyecha, the Pligi Rabbanu Bram Nasan Bafara, Hachinami Pligi B'Shelo. No, he wanted to be Mata this Nether. I mean, this is a ridiculous Nether. See, he wanted to be Mata it. The problem is, you can't be Mata Nether until the Nether is Chal. So he had no way of being Mata the Nether. So what did he do? He forced him into getting married by fooling him, and once he was married, he was Mata the Neder. Like this, you have nothing to worry about. Now, why couldn't he be Mata the Neder before he got married? Because he held that Kihechi the Pligi Rabbanim Rab Nosson Ba'afara, Hachinami Pligi B'Shelo. Because he was being Chayesh Meshitas Rab Nosson over here in the Darim, who holds that a Baal can't be made for a Neder until the Neder's Chal, so too a Chochem can't be Mata a Neder until the Neder's Chal, so therefore he needed him to have the Neder Chal. How do you get the Neder Chal? Get married. This guy walked down the Chuppah, he didn't check off the boxes. The Neder is Chal, the minute the Neder is Chal, you could go ahead and be shot. So Rav Acha bar Rav Huna comes up with this brilliant Eitzah, and why does he have this brilliant Eitzah? He has it because he's being Chayish Veshitas Rav Nosson. Freak the Ran. I don't understand this whole story. It's an interesting story, but I don't understand the whole thing. Why are you worried about Shitas Rav Nosson? Rav Nosson holds a Baal can't be made for a Neder until the Neder is Chal. The Chachamim hold a Baal could be made for a Neder before it's Chal. The Stam Mishnah says the Baal could be made for the Neder before the Neder is Chal. See, even if you're going to tell me, Kihechi the Pligi, Rabban of Rav Nosson, Afarach, and Ami Pligi B'Shelo, but who do you think we paskin like? Rav Nosson or the Chachamim? Of course the Chachamim. And if we paskin like the Chachamim, what's going on over here? So why was he being so worried? Why wasn't he just Mata the Neder? You worried about Rav Nosson? Who paskins like Rav Nosson? Says the Ran, you're right. The reason he did this is because he didn't want to get involved in a machlokes. And he didn't want to get involved in machlokes Rav Nosson, the Chachamim, and Chanami, lahoitzim, miliban. He wanted it to work even according to Rav Nosson. But if you look at the Mefarish, and this is the Mefarish that the Yad Malachi quotes, he says a different shot. Nedarim Dav Tzadik Amar Aleph. He says that he was medactic to make sure that the Neder should be Chal before he was Shoyal. Why? The Kosovik Rav Nosson. Because these Amiram held like Rav Nosson, Damalo Yof, Hayavalei Chal HaNeder. Why did they hold like Rav Nosson? Did Rav Nosson Dainahu? Because he was a dying and he was not chaslum kededina, and it's for that reason we pass like Rav Nosson. Now you see a few things, says the Yad Malachi. You see that we pass like Rav Nosson even against the Chachamim, even though Yochev Rav Malachi Kerav, even though it's connected to Stam Mishnah, right? There's sometimes we pass like the Stam Mishnah, doesn't matter. We pass like Rav Nosson. But says the Yad Malachi, I can't be soivel this Mefarish. You know why? Because even though we pass like Rav Nosson, when do we pass like Rav Nosson? By Dine Mominus, that's when we pass like Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson, Dainahu Venachis, Lo Umke de Dina. This is not a question of Hilchis Dine Mominus. This is a Veheter. We sell Chis Nadarim. It's in Yeridea. It's in Seyda Noshin. This has nothing to do with Dine Mominus. So if it has nothing to do with Dine Mominus, he says, I understand. We always pass like Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson, Dainahu Venachis. In dinim, right? We pass him like Shmuel when it comes to dinim. We pass him like Rav Nachman when it comes to the dinim. There is an idea that in dinim momentus we pass him like somebody. So no problem. You have Shmuel, you'll have Rav Nachman, and you'll have Rav Nosson. It makes a lot of sense. This is the Amalachis Kash, and Imamish blives Tzorich here. He says this Mefarish is a very, very, very big Kaddish. So just to say one Ha'ara, and that is, there's a Gemara Masechta Nedarim Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara there is discussing if somebody makes a neder, a good old fashioned neder, and instead of saying koinim ze olai, he says loy chulin ze olai, etc., etc. Is it a neder? Is it not a neder? And the Gemara says it's totally a big machloikis. It's machloikis Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda whether you say michla lav atashe meyo hein or you don't say michla lav atashe meyo hein. We know Reb Meir holds that in Hilchas Soim you have to make a tonight kafel. You don't say Michlal Lav Atashemehen. Rabbi Huda's Chayle kills. You do say Michlal Lav Atashemehen. And the Gemara says that's what it's Tolian. Freik Duran in the Dorm Dafir Alpha Amar Alpha Kasha. The Alpha Gafter Amina Mishvuos Eitas. Shvuos Daf Lamad Vav Amar Alpha. The Chi Lesa the Rameh Michlal Lav Atashemehen. Although it's true, Rameh holds, you don't say Michlal Lav Atashemehen. Hani Mili Bimamoina. That's only by Dine Mominus. Of a Bisura Islai. It's only Dine Mominus. It's a Freik Duran. You're telling to Rameh Shita Michlal Lav Atashemehen? To what? The Hilchas Nedarim? Rav Meir only said his halacha, it's in Gemara Shavuos Lamed Vav, by Dinei Mominus. This is not Dinei Mominus, says the Ran. Ha'asik Nahasam, if you go through the Gemara over there in Shavuos, the Gemara comes out, the Besoita, the Eidos Isha, Lesley. By Soita and Eidos Isha, even though they're fundamentally Shailos of Issa V'Heter, over there we don't view them as being questions of Issa V'Heter. Why? Mishum Dahavi Isure de Ispe Mamoino. Because there's tremendous momentous ramifications in Hilchas Soita and in Hilchas Eidos Isha, all the Ksuba Shailas. Nadarim Nami, says the Ran, if that's the case, Nadarim also Mamoina Ispahu. There's a huge Dine Momentous component. Why? The Hainu Chetzo de Mitzar Aleh. Because we know the Gemara says in Nedarim that base that Nedarim is a sechefza, and being that Nedarim is a sechefza, Zok Deran, it comes out that every shayla of Nedarim is a dinei mominus to a shayla also, or at the very least, it's isurei deispe mamoino. So from Meir holds, you don't say michlal lavat to shemeyahin and dinei mominus, it's going to extend itself to dinei Nedarim. Because even though you're right, it's a neder, it's liyachol devar. What does it have to do with money? The Teretz Nis, I'll tell you what has to do with money, because Nedarim is a sechefza, and isechefza means this thing now just became a chefza shalisser. That's a shayla of Dinei Mominus. I mean, it's a shayla of Dinei Mominus. Rav Meir's klal and Dinei Mominus is going to apply. The Ad Malachi is matmi on the Mefarish. Rav Nosin, Dainahu v'yored la'umke de Dina. He's someone that knew how to mamish go into umke de Dina. That's a Dinei Mominus thing, a shayla. You're telling me, Pshani, Yenig Amar, and Adarim, that Tzadikam and Aleph, and Ilchas Nadarim, the reason that Mayram held like Rav Nosin is because halachic Rav Nosin, that's in Dinei Mominus. Teretz is in Nadarim. Ilchas Nadarim, the Ran said on Daf Yod Aleph, Amar Aleph, is a shayla of Yisura de Ispe Mamoina, and we treat it sometimes as Dinei Mominus, maybe as it relates to this klal of Hilchas Rav Nosson, it's going to be the same way. It's interesting because again, Rabbi and Rav Nosson are the two Tanoim that gave us the Mishnah. We know that Halacha is like Rabbi. Halacha ke Rabbi mechaveiro. That's Klal Yashas 101. That's Irvin Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis. The Halacha is also like Rav Nosson. Again, in Hilchas underrated. Brings out Rav Nosson a little bit more. We always pass him like Rav Nosson. Halacha Kerebi Kimechaveroi. Halacha Kereb Nosson. Maybe a little bit of a shaila, whether it's only by Dinei Mominus or not. Maybe there's a Mefarish, the Yad Malachis, Makar talked away. Maybe Nedarim is a Dinei Mominus, the Geshaila, Pidaran, and Daf Yud Aleph, Amar Aleph. But either way, we'll stop here.